Hello and welcome to another edition of Business Matters on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. Well, this week I've been finding out more about a great little Donegal business that is expanding and which looks to have a bright future. Donegal Sea Salt, based in Cranford, really is making waves and has won a number of awards, most recently at the Donegal Enterprise Awards, where it was named as the best start-up business for 2025. Located on the shores of Mulroy Bay, it's a wonderful example of using a natural product and bringing it to the market. Well, I recently paid a trip to Donegal Sea Salt, which is run by John Slater and his partner Caroline, and it was great to get a first-hand view of how he extracts the water from the sea and how it then evaporates to produce the clear white sea salt, which is a premium product and indeed one that is becoming increasingly popular. Well, first up, John outlined to me the whole production process, beginning with the extraction of water from Mulroy Bay. So, John, we're just walking down here beside Mulroy Bay. Fortunately, it's a wonderful day. Absolutely stunning views. Flat cam, sunny like it is 365 days a year. So what are you about to show me down here?
So this is where we get our water from. This is our well. Essentially, on the shore, we've got a pipe about 15 feet long going down into the... if you like, substrate. So I'll take the lid off and you can see the black pipe going down with slits in it. So the level of water in the well is exactly the same as the level in the Mulroy. Tide comes in, level comes up. We take our water from here, and water from Mulroy filters through the gravel, taking out all the weeds and jellyfish and things like that. So the water in the well is relatively free of any, well, we call them macroscopic organisms, jellyfish, bits of weed, bits of dirt. So we take our water from there, we put a submersible pump down into the well, pump the water up into an IBC tank, plastic tank, holds about 1,000 litres. As it goes into the tank, we filter it again, this time through a 1 micron mesh. So it takes out all of the plankton, all of the organisms, tiny, tiny microscopic things. So the water in the IBC is clean. Clear.
And how much water are you taking out in a day or a week?
We would take, in order to transfer the, usually when we're doing a movement of water from the well to the existing polytunnel, we transfer usually about maybe 3 tons, 3.5 tons. So 3,500 litres. The IBC sits in the back of the van, and then we drive the water around 1,000 litres at a time.
Great. So we'll go over now and see the next stage of things.
Okay.
So, John, we've come inside the polytunnel, and just to explain to people, and many people are probably more familiar with the mushroom tunnels, the black ones. This will be a little bit smaller in length, but it's you've a steel structure, it's clear, so inside it's going to get very warm when the sun is out, and you have the steel trays, do we call them?
Stainless steel racks. And on the racks we put plastic trays. Each tray holds about 24, 25 litres of the filtered seawater. So we've got about 3.5 tons of filtered seawater inside here. Around the bottom of the polytunnel, it's all sealed, and the doors are kept closed so that no flies, midges, insects can get in. In order to let the steam out from the trays as the water evaporates, we have midge mesh at both ends. That allows a little bit of draft to come through. Temperatures inside here can reach up to 53.9 last summer. The question that I'm most often asked is, how long does it take to get the salt?
Yeah.
The first harvest this year took from August 24 until April 25. So it's a slow, patient process.
So the trays are here, the salt is in the water, and it's just over time evaporating.
The water evaporates very, very slowly. The hotter it is, the quicker the evaporation process. As the level goes down, the saltiness, if you like, of the what's in the trays gets higher and higher and higher until we reach a point where crystals start to drop out to the bottom. And we just basically rake the crystals to one end, tilt the trays very slightly, so we allow the salt crystals to dry, then we accumulate them, and then it's time for the oven.
Yeah. And tell me, the water here that we're getting from Mulroy Bay and the salt content, if I was to take a sample of water from the coast of France or the coast of Greece, or does it vary much, the actual salt content?
You will find in some places, like the Dead Sea and places like that, waters of a higher salinity. But generally, if you're, you know, it's Irish Atlantic water, whether you're in Cork or Dingle or whether you're in Achill or whether you're in Donegal or up the west coast of Scotland, it's all much of a muchness in terms of composition. Yeah.
So it's a fairly slow process, the evaporation. Is there any merit? Could you speed it up? Could you put in extra heat? Does that work?
This is the funny side of it. Whereas the first batch we took this year was August to April. We then restocked with another three and a half tons, and we were harvesting at the end of May. So only 6 weeks. Right. But if we recall, April, May, the weather was... we had brilliant sunshine, the highest temperatures we've ever had. In terms of using artificial heat, the one thing that we're trying to avoid is ESB bills, oil bills, or gas bills. Mm. So we're trying to use what nature can provide free.
Having had a look at the polytunnel where the water evaporates and we are left with the salt crystals, John then took me inside the main building for the next stage of the process. So the salt then comes in here, tiny little crystals. We're into a totally clean environment. So just describe this room.
So we've put up here a commercial kitchen purely for the drying of salt. Stainless steel tables, tiled floors, white walls, and a large 10-layer commercial oven. So to make sure that the salt is perfectly dry coming out of the polytunnels, bearing in mind it's coming out of a slightly humid kind of environment, we take it down here, usually about maybe 2-2.5 kilos at a time, and we spread it out onto trays and put it into the oven. We dry it at a relatively low temperature, so just above the temperature that water would boil at, maybe about 110, 115 degrees centigrade, and we dry it for an hour. That way the salt is perfectly dry. We then take it out of the oven once it's cooled a little bit, and any clumps that are formed, we break those up and transfer them then into 20-kilo storage bins. So I'll just show you exactly what it looks like inside the bin. I take the lid off, and inside, excuse the rustling sound as we open up the plastic bag, you'll see beautiful white.
Really white.
White. It's like almost like freshly fallen snow.
It is, yeah.
So it sits in those storage bins until it's time for packing, and we pack the salt next door in the next room, either into small little tins. These are designed, I suppose, for the handbag or the camping trip or the rucksack or the picnic. You don't want to take a large volume. They hold about 25, 27 grams.
And a lovely little tin that says Donegal Sea Salt, and a lovely design.
Yeah. We took that from a company in Dublin. They were called Bradley Branding. I think they do apple green and Keeling strawberries as well. They're professionals in their field.
And just looking at the
the tin itself, it has different shades of blue on it, and you can see sort of the mountains, the sea. It just sums it up.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. We took that from our little tubes. I'm just going to go and get a tube now and just show you that for a second. This is our little cardboard telescopic tube. Again, designed Bradley branding. Lovely blues and green greys, just to kind of give you that feeling of this is a completely natural sea salt. Importantly, our seawater is not boiled to make salt. We allow nature, so if you like, we're not losing any of the trace elements from the seawater. We're allowing nature to dry it. So inside here is a small little plastic bag, and inside the plastic bag is 75 grams of pure Donegal sea salt. Nothing added, nothing taken away.
Yeah, lovely packaging again, and a recent edition, of course, of Last Na Héireann Food and Drink Awards, and you got a silver.
We did. We were very lucky. It's our first year ever. We're only on the market 15 months, so our first customers, Fanard Lighthouse, August of 24. So we decided May time that we would enter this competition just to find out what went on in Dingle. And we were lucky enough to come back with a silver award.
Yeah. It's going to be great, and I suppose it's going to help the marketing side of things.
I'm fairly sure. I was a little bit done that we didn't get a gold, but
next year,
we actually, within the salt category, there are also seasonings. Okay. So the one that got a gold was a company from Belfast that had salt and about 11 other ingredients in it. So we're not disheartened. We just went with our pure natural sea salt. And whether we diversify into flavoured salts next year, who knows? Mm-hmm. So we've got, if you like, three products. We've got the little tin for the picnic, the handbag. We've got the little tube there, which is more, I suppose, as a gift. We've got that available in about 24, 25 outlets in the county. And we've also put together a kind of 1 kilo tub for the restaurant hotel market. We're not actually, we're not pushing, looking for markets just at the moment, because again, we've been selling so successfully that we're a little bit afraid of running out. Because again, we're dependent on sunshine, and at this time of year, there's nothing happening. So consequently, there's nothing in the polytunnel simply because it's the time of year. This is not a good time for drying.
So it is very much a seasonal business.
Very much a seasonal business, and I suppose that old expression, make hay while the sun shines, is quite appropriate in the terms of salt maker.
So in this sort of downtime, this is the time of year that you're maybe planning ahead, you're looking at potential new markets, things like that?
Absolutely. We're currently in the process of expanding the operation so that we produced about 240 kilos this year, and we're hoping to grow that perhaps up to about 1,000 kilos for next year. We've put up two new polytunnels in preparation. We've just to get them finished. And we'll be changing the operation slightly as we go ahead.
As John touched on there, some changes now lie ahead as they plan to increase production. He then brought me up to the two new polytunnels.
John, we've just moved up around the corner. Sales have gone very well and you have scope to expand. And when it comes to the actual production process, there's going to be some changes going forward.
There is, Chris, yeah. What we've put up here are two much larger polytunnels. These ones are 26 metres long and 5 metres wide. And rather than producing the sea salt in trays, we're essentially going to put inside the polytunnel, I suppose, what effectively would be a gigantic paddling pool. It'll have a PVC liner, and we'll put the filtered seawater in here, possibly about maybe 3 inches, 3.5 inches of filtered seawater. There'll be midge mesh at both ends to allow the wind to blow through, and hopefully we'll get the same temperatures that we get in the lower one, 50 plus. This should hopefully, with a bit of luck, give us the capacity to significantly increase the production of the sea salt that we're making.
So it'll evaporate here in the heat and you're going to be left with a sea of white little crystals, and then removing those crystals, how is that going to be done?
So the crystals, when the water's evaporated, we can use either a scraper or a brush. The brushes and the scrapers obviously belong to each individual polytunnel. We have two polytunnels constructed so far. Brushes, Wellingtons, everything, all the equipment that we use for gathering the salt from the tunnel here stays with that tunnel. The sea salt, once it's gathered, will then be transferred down to our existing polytunnel for a final drying session before it actually goes to the commercial kitchen for the end of the process, the hour in the commercial oven.
And for the people coming in here, again, the clean room, the hygiene, that's absolutely key.
Absolutely, absolutely. It was one of the things that the HSE insisted on, that essentially there was a compartment within the polytunnel before you went to the production area where everything could be kept scrupulously clean. And, yeah, boots stay within that polytunnel, within the clean room environment.
And just how much can you scale up?
We're hoping this year we've produced about 240 kilos. We're hoping to head towards 1,000 kilos next year, which will mean that we'll be in a position to look particularly more at restaurant markets, hotel markets. I've had discussions with a few Okra's pizzas. The manufacturer there was very interested in using Donegal sea salt. We're supplying a couple of chocolate makers, salted caramel being very popular, particularly at this time of year. So we're supplying down as we've got Clue Chocolates, which supply all the Avoca shops, take our sea salt.
And so, yeah, it's a premium product. And then for other producers, if they're using it, as you say there, it can add value to them. It can give them a competitive edge with a new product that's got Donegal sea salt, and they can promote that as well. At the moment, most of your output, it's sold pretty locally?
Most of the output at the moment goes from what, let's say, Fannad Lighthouse, mainly tourist outlets, Dunfanaghy Workhouse, over to Sleeve League. We were in McGee's of Donegal at the weekend. The buyer at Biddy's. You think Letterkenny, Amelia's, the counter, it's available. About 24 to Ballyholy Farm, Daly's Garage in Lifford, Oakfield Park, you name it, we've tried to get in there.
And what about online? Can people buy it online, or can that happen in the future?
In the future, we haven't got a website as yet. We're on Instagram and Facebook, but we haven't actually tried any web sales, or we haven't developed a website as yet. We've kind of concentrated first of all on getting the product. Whether we go down that road, I know that some of the people that we supply have website offerings and they're selling online, but perhaps in the future.
You're listening to Business Matters on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. This week, I've been finding out more about Donegal Sea Salt, which is based in Cranford. Coming up, founder and owner John Slater will be telling me more about the networking among artisan and small producers in the county and the considerable potential for further growth. As we looked out over Mulroy Bay, I asked John about the area, his own background, and how a man from Derbyshire ended up in Donegal, and also how some of the country's top chefs and cooks have been very impressed with the product.
So, John, just give us the location here. What's the townland that we're in?
So we're currently in Digger Point, Cranford, and on the edge of Mulroy Bay. This area, if you look at the old Admiralty chart, you look out, I think they were produced in the mid-1800s. We have a number of places, Pan Rock, Pan Point, Japan Bay, which are probably 200 metres away from where we're currently standing. And the word pan is associated with salt pans and salt makers. About 500 metres up the road here, there's the old salt makers' cottages. They lie in ruins currently. So what I'm trying to get across to you is that this area is synonymous with salt making.
Right.
And has been for hundreds of years. We initially came here and established a shellfish farm. We were producing scallops. Unfortunately, they're a very slow-growing animal. It takes 4 to 5 years to produce a fully grown scallop. And so we specialised, part of a learning curve, I suppose one might call it, we specialised in producing baby scallops. So we would sell them probably when they're about 10 millimetres size to other growers who would maybe grow them to 40 or 50 millimetres, and they would then in turn sell them on to fishermen for restocking overfish beds. We stuck at that for quite a while, and some years were good, some years were bad, and eventually built the building in which we're now producing sea salt.
So. And no surprise in many ways that you have ended up in this sector, because after you left school, you went to university and you went down the sort of marine scientist avenue.
I did, yeah. I was always interested as a young lad in angling, and I ended up going to study marine biology. I then left Edinburgh and went to the Highlands of Scotland into Argyll. I spent 3 years there before being, I met four lads from Connemara who were on a kind of recce looking at shellfish farming and salmon farming on the west coast of Scotland with a view to bringing back ideas and techniques over to the west coast of Ireland. And as it just so happened, there was a job vacancy and I decided to leave Scotland and head for Donegal, and the rest is history. 40 years later, I'm still here.
So you'd been involved in the aquaculture sector for a period of years. So what was sort of the moment that you thought, well, sea salt, I'm actually going to give this a real go? How did that all come about?
Myself, I'd been just looking around at other opportunities that we may use, if you like, the existing infrastructure that we had. We had a building, we're on the shore, we're on the edge of Mulroy Bay. Mulroy Bay has premium quality waters. As a marine scientist, yeah, what other opportunities could I look at? I considered shellfish. I considered diversifying into kind of shellfish hatcheries and nurseries. And sea salt was something I'd seen, particularly this technique of using polytunnels. I'd seen it develop in the Isle of Skye. They, I think, were probably the pioneers around about 2014, something like that, I think they started. And I kind of watched very carefully as to what they did and how it worked out for them. And I just liked the idea of working with nature. You know, this idea of using heat or electricity or oil or kind of cutting that out. I think the other side of it is that when you boil something, sometimes you can lose certain trace elements. So working with nature and allowing nature to work at whatever pace that is kind of appealed to me.
And the first commercial batch that you produced, what sort of quantity was that?
Myself and my partner Caroline, we played with it in 2023, and produced about 45, 46 kilos of salt. We were quite impressed. The following year, we moved into having the first few racks and trays on racks. And we managed to grow the production to about 105 kilos, I think just over. Last year, with the reasonable summer weather that we had, we managed to get to about 235, 5 kilos, I think. 95% of which we've sold this year. So we're down to our last couple of drums, 2 or 3 drums. And again, the whole process starts again, maybe February, March next year, once the sun comes out.
A fair bit of capital investment to get the business off the ground. What about sort of the price points? Was it hard to actually pitch it at a particular point, or how did you work that sort of thing out?
I think, yeah, there was capital investment involved. We were very lucky in as much as we kind of had a previous shellfish business here. So there was a bit of converting to do, putting up an office, putting up a commercial kitchen, getting approval from the HSE and things of that nature. I think the key things that we've faced have been making sure that, should we say, we're adhering to all the regulations, that everything is done properly, cleanly, that all the records are kept, that there's a traceability system in place for any batch that leaves. Capital investment's always a tough one. So I think you have to look at what money you're spending and what you're actually producing. We've gone for a kind of premium end of the market, so we're not competing with the salts that are available in the large supermarkets. We've particularly initially focused on the tourist market, where people are wanting to pick up a gift that says Donegal on, Donegal sea salt, our packaging is premium. All of those things come at a cost. So I'm not suggesting that this is a sea salt that you put in with the spuds in the pan. This is what I think in the US market is termed a finishing salt. So you've made the dinner's on the plate, the meat's there, whatever's there, and this is just a little sprinkling of crystals that are premium, ready to... And the difference is, and it's very visible, if you try that with a supermarket salt, take a tomato, split it, put on some of your supermarket salt, put on some of this, and then start the stop clock. You'll see that the supermarket brands have all dissolved. We'll still be sitting there looking at crystals on our salt. And it's a good test of, just the quality of the product.
A number of the country's top chefs have used the product. They've been very impressed, and it's also been used here locally in a number of restaurants.
It is. We've had particular help from Brian McMonagle in Number 9 in Letterkenny, who's been developing some of the flavoured sea salts with us. We're also in the Lemon Tree and Castle Grove in Letterkenny. We've been supplying Peter Campbell Catering over in Mount Charles. The feedback has been hugely positive. When we were in Dingle for the Blasna Aaron Awards in October, we were very fortunate to find that Nevin Maguire was there, and that the previous evening he'd been doing a big cooking demonstration in Newcastle West in Limerick, and using this supposed premium ingredient called Donegal sea salt. So I was very fortunate to capture Nevin at the awards, and about 3 weeks later we were very fortunate to be visited by Dorina and Tim Allen from Ballymaloe. And they were enthralled to see just the process that we're using to make our salt, and took quite a considerable consignment away down to the Ballymaloe Cook Shop in Cork, where it's on offer. The thing that particularly appealed to Dorina was the fact that she now had a little tin of premium salt for her handbag. One of the comments that she made was that often in restaurants, chefs flavour the dish before it comes to the table to their liking, and she's a lady who likes a little bit of extra salt, so she was delighted to find that it was available in a little tin. And hopefully we'll get many more celebrity chefs coming along. We met Marco Pierre White and Rachel Allen at the Oakfield Donegal Festival of Food last year, and we got great feedback from them and from Paula McIntyre from the Hamley Kitchen series. Everyone, all of the celebrity chefs that we've come across have been very positive about what we're doing. So,
and you've had some recently, the Donegal Enterprise Awards, you got an award there as well. So more positive publicity and that helps get the name out.
Yeah, I'm not the kind of person, to be honest with you, who goes seeking press releases and publicity. But yeah, we were lucky enough to be, we got through to the finals of the Donegal Enterprise Awards, and we were very happy to go to Rock Hill House and be presented with the best startup business for 2025 but from the local enterprise office. And look, who knows what the future holds,
And finally, maybe just mentioning as well, salt, for people who don't know a lot about it in historical terms, it was as important, or indeed more important than money, if one goes back far enough. And I was fortunate enough not so long ago to go down the salt mines in Krakow in Poland. And salt has been such an important product down through the years.
Absolutely. I think, you know, pre-refrigeration, pre-freezing, it was the method by which vegetables, meat, fish were preserved for the cold winters. And I think, as far as I can gather, the word salary actually came from salt. So it's I think it's been around for a while.
And now, of course, a changed environment. As you mentioned, so many things are frozen, and then there's different types of preservatives. But something like Donegal sea salt, you know, we're maybe going full circle and getting back to the pure natural product. Also, just to maybe you can tell us a little bit the difference between sea salt and rock salt. They're quite different.
They are. I think that different sea salts are made in different ways. Different rock salts are mined in different ways. I have to say, like, the technique that we're using to make our salt, we're not doing anything to what nature has provided. So we're often some of the salts that are available, because they're I'm not going to mention any particular brands, but some brands tend to be a slight grey colour. Sometimes they're produced outdoors in ponds and scraped up, and there are birds flying overhead. I'm not going to make any other comment than that. But sometimes the companies that are involved in this add things like bleaches to make their salt whiter. They sometimes add additives to their salt. They sometimes add what they term anti-clumping agents, so the crystals don't actually stick together. We're not involved in any of that. Our salt is white because that's the way it came out of the tunnel. It's completely natural product. There's nothing being added to it at all. Different companies do different things. I'm standing over what we're doing here.
And your raw material, the source, unlimited.
Absolutely. Plenty of it. Plenty of it. I'm just all I need is sunshine.
John then also told me about how they are looking about possible new products using Donegal sea salt.
Now, John, we've come back inside again, and aside from the pure salt, you've been looking at maybe some other possibilities going forward, and flavoured salt of one form or another.
Absolutely, Chris. When you look on the market, some of the existing flavours, quite a number of the companies have developed a smoked sea salt, which goes very well with the kind of barbecue type environment. Number of companies have also added seaweed. So they've got a seaweed sea salt offering. That's, I think, coming out of Ackle and several other places. We've been having a look at a number of other possibilities. We've considered developing a range of fruity flavoured sea salts because you get a very vibrant colour and they may be more attractive to people that make, for example, brownies. You often see brownies with a little sprinkle of sea salt on the top. It might be nice to see just not white sea salt, but perhaps a raspberry flavoured or a black currant flavoured sea salt. And we've also been looking at a range of other herbs and spices with a view to producing, just a range of different, perhaps. We might put them together as part of a salt tasting kit. Mm. Just to add that little bit of variety to the life.
Yeah. And they could make for a great gift.
Make for a great gift, particularly if it was packaged right. And I think we'd stick with our kind of logo and the team at Bradley Brandon, just in terms of developing that idea.
So back to quieter times of the year. This is when you get a chance to look at future possibilities.
Absolutely. As I said earlier, make hay while the sun shines. When you get to the winter, it's time to recuperate and start the brain becomes active and you start looking at other opportunities and other possibilities that we might go down that road. So.
And it's great, and I'm sure you're well aware in Donegal, the sort of the networking that goes on. We've the Food Coast Donegal. There's lots of small artisan producers, and in many ways, you're all helping each other.
100%. The Food Coast network has been great, in as much as we've got, I think there's about coming up towards about 100 different members, some of them producers, some of them in hospitality. But it's great to see that kind of effort, that teamwork, people bouncing ideas off one another. Perhaps we can work together on this or that or the other. Who knows where the road might lead.
And from a marketing point of view, people from outside Donegal, just the name Donegal, and you know it's a fresh product, they know they're getting something that's natural and the quality is going to be there.
Very much, very much. And it's even though, you know, currently we're only making this offering in Donegal, a little bit in Sligo, a little bit over the border into Derry. We found with Instagram and social media that the sky's the limit. We've got our salt into Australia. We've got two or three inquiries even this week from the US. One of them from a lady who has a couple of stores who wants to actually stock the sea salt in her Irish Celtic stores in the States, which would be, great opportunities. Great opportunities.
And what's not to say 5-10 years' time, I mean, you could be an internationally recognised product.
Fingers crossed. Who knows? Who knows where this might lead?
Well, my thanks to John Slater, owner and founder of Donegal Sea Salt, and also his partner Caroline. It was certainly a pleasure to go to Cranford and see their business and find out firsthand about the whole production process. I will certainly watch with interest as their business expands. Well, that's it for another edition of Business Matters here on Highland Radio. It's the last programme before Christmas, so as well as hoping you have a healthy, happy and profitable week ahead, may I extend Christmas greetings to you all as well, and also to all who have featured on the programme during the year. Until the next time, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.